Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dolph.
Well, well, well. Back again.
Back again. In Havasu.
Calling out from the Great Plains.
I'm recording.
You're like a plains girl.
It's windy on these plains.
Girly.
Yeah.
It always shunks me that you're from like
the Dust Bowl.
Somewhere that, well, just growing up in the East Coast, like you don't really have like, and as I'm sure like people who lived where you did didn't really think about New Jersey, but like, I just like, it's so weird to think about like Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's a random spot.
But also like storied.
Hugely storied. Lots going on.
Famous.
Famous.
Infamous.
Wild. Kind of the Wild West. People don't think of it as like cowboy country, but it's like extremely cowboys.
Oh, I do.
Okay, good. I mean, I've heard people try and say it's like the Midwest, which I don't consider the Midwest to be like cowboy nation.
No, I think of Oklahoma like, oh, Oklahoma, like the play. I think of it like the movie Twister.
Yeah, I think of like cowboys and Indians, westerns. I think of like a history.
Pioneers,
the land rush.
Donner Party, even though I think that was in Colorado.
The Donner Party was not an Oklahoma thing. The bombing.
Well, the bombing.
You might be thinking of like the Oregon Trail. I think like certain covered wagon journeys went through.
Came through.
Oh, so maybe the Donners like stopped.
Annie Oakley.
Annie, get your gun. Kristen Chenoweth, noted OKC. Star, Bill Hader, another star.
Reba. I feel like she's from Oklahoma.
Maybe, but I don't think so, actually.
The torture started.
Had a wonderful breakfast, and then the torture started.
I'll never forget. Okay.
Okay, get back to work.
Well, let's get back to work.
What's the problem?
We got a show to do.
Let's keep going. I'm ready.
Yeah, the bombing is really... That was, like, my first... I remember, like, briefly... I, like, vaguely remember hearing about it in first grade.
Yeah, I heard about it when it happened.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Doll, you lived through it.
I lived it. My sad tale. But no, Oklahoma's random, but good. I went and got my face RF microneedled at the crack of dawn this morning. I'm looking a little bit pink. I'm feeling a little bit tight, a little bit numb still, but I'm here for it. I'm gonna glow. It's about to be over.
Phosphorescent.
Yeah. It's about to be completely over for you hoes once I complete this whole end of the treatment, refresh skin, then get another one in 4 to 6 weeks. Don't even look at me.
Yeah, you know, no, well, when you showed me the photo where you were a little more pizza face, I was shocked at how minimal it was. Like, when I got it, I was literally, like, Tommy Lee Jones and Two-Face.
You were bloodied and battered.
I was bloodied running down Wilshire shrieking in the broad daylight, not wanting anyone, because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. This was yours pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You bleed a lot on your forehead, and I think it's like different places treat the blood differently. Like in the past, I've had someone wipe it off. This person told me you can just leave it, but then I just thought I'll splash a tiny bit of clean water on my face and just like do a very surfacey, whatever comes off, I won't rub. And so the blood is gone, and then I just, you leave your face alone for like 48 hours or so.
But so you went down to the river, you went down to Lake Havasah and splashed some lake water on your face. Mm-hmm.
I said, let the cleansing waters of Havasu heal me. No, I tried. So I was like traumatized by this episode of VPR and decided Lake Havasu is not for me. But then no. I thought, you know what? I need to be open-minded and like really try and find the good in Arizona, because I just shit talk it so much on this podcast. And I was like, I'm going to find a beautiful photo of Lake Havasu and make it my Zoom background for this recording. And it's working. I'm into this vibe in this particular photo of Lake Havasu, the lake that Havasu. Yeah,
you could be anywhere. You could be in the Mediterranean for all we know.
Mm-hmm. But it's Havies.
I don't ever need to go there.
I feel like that just getting a Zoom background or Googling images and finding two or three that don't freak me out is the equivalent of a girls trip there.
We're on a girls trip right now.
Yeah. Save money. It's virtual tourism. And I get it. You know what I mean?
If they want to do one of those like robots with like the screen, you know how they have those like as a surrogate, like they'll put like stationary, put you in a screen and it looks like you're in like a robot thing.
Mm-hmm.
Moving. If they want to do that with me, I'll go. But that's as far as I'm going to go.
I don't even like want to do that. I don't want to. No. I don't need to see that. I'm really Aunt Sassy about Havasu.
Ow!
I don't need to see that. I don't like a square boat. Like a square. Mm. I don't like that. Like kind of around, more rounded edges. That's just me. Mm. That's just how I roll when it comes to boats and my boat preferences.
Yeah.
And I have to honor that about myself.
Yeah, your preferences are your preferences.
I can't change.
Mm-mm, you were born that way.
Yeah.
When I was young, we went to Vegas and we rented a boat on Lake Mead before it was like drying out. So I got to see it in its prime, and it was actually gorgeous. But my dad was like, he was sort of going through a midlife crisis at that point. And he was like, he got like a brochure and was like, we're going to do houseboat summer and just like cruise down the Colorado River in a houseboat. Like he was like adamant about doing like a square houseboat. And my mom was like, I don't want that. She goes, the carpets will get musty. And so I always think that they have like smelly carpets on those.
Some are nice. Like a proper houseboat that is almost like yacht-like a bit can be really nice. But like a, just yeah. like a square, like toot toot kind of boat, like the girlies were partying on next to those drunk dudes. I was like, no, I don't like an aluminum square thing dinghy or something. Like I'm like, I can't.
It looks like an outhouse on a raft.
Yeah, it's just not my preference. The little toot toot boat. Mm-mm. No thanks.
I don't feel a locomotion with me.
I love Dorothy shutting that down ASAP.
Oh, she's not a houseboat gal.
Yeah, no way. Nor should she be. We're all better for
it. It was short lived. My dad was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long-haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Wait, I want to talk briefly about the one, the only MH370.
She is that girl.
She is that bitch.
She's been that bitch.
She's been that mysterious ass
for a decade.
Bitch. I know. It's crazy.
I know. Isn't that weird? It's been 9 years.
That ain't right.
What the fuck?
People know what happened. I'm convinced that the truth is out there. I'm X-Files about this shit. And I honestly, after watching the Netflix documentary, I think that I side with the theory of the U.S. shooting it down.
The French woman.
Mm-hmm. I trust her. She seems like level-headed.
Yeah,
she's not like emotional about it. She's very like, she's
unbiased.
Yeah. And just like on the beat in a way that I really respect. And I was like, I stand with her. Je suis.
I love.
Je suis MH370.
Je suis Florence. Mm-hmm. I love that woman in Florida too. That photographer woman.
Oh yeah. The one that was searching and searching.
And she found the debris.
She did. So that was the debris, but people just don't want to honor her debris skills. That would be the debris, though.
Well, she also, there were reports of an oil person on an oil rig seeing like a flaming plane and other pilots passing over. I think it was in like the South China Sea seeing debris and being like, wow, that's a lot of debris.
Wait, also, that freak who just is like roaming around looking for debris, what's his deal? I don't trust him.
He's a fraud.
At all.
So this guy Gibson something, Gibson Blaine or something, Blaine Gibson, he is an adventurer. And, you know, everyone I think was starting to like, they want to get a piece of the pie when it was becoming this great mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So he set out and went to Mozambique, where they said he said, I asked around, which I'm like, okay. And where would the debris go? And they all said the western coast of Africa on the Indian Ocean. And he just went there. And then within 20 minutes, he found a window.
His debris finding skills know no bounds.
And so he somehow was able, not after a year, with multiple countries, multiple militaries, like, you know, thousands and thousands of miles of searching, this one motherfucker from America just happens to find pieces of plane, a window, like other shit. And he's the only one, and he just keeps finding it. So then people were like, how is this guy so good at this? And then Jeff Wise, who's a little kooky.
He's a little kooky.
But I think he has like some good instincts.
I love his creativity. I love his hypotheses, but I still stand with Frenchie.
But she also looked into him too. Mm-hmm. And she found he had connections to Russia.
Yeah.
So like he had business dealings with Russia. So they thought maybe they were planted there, which kind of makes sense. Because they never fully confirmed that the pieces of debris that he found were 370. They said it was highly likely, which in a case like this, highly likely means you don't got shit,
no.
Basically.
It either is or it isn't.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't believe that those were the pieces. I think they like made them and like disassembled a plane and like had him just like paid him or something. That doesn't make sense to me.
Because the French theory is that Russia tried to intercept, then the U.S. was like, uh-uh, bitch, and shot the plane down.
The French theory, which I'm still watching it, but she basically found there were, on the plane, there was like a lot of weird material, like lithium, weird batteries.
Mm-hmm. That weren't declared properly, or like...
No, and they weren't x-rayed.
Yeah.
Somehow they made it through without being x-rayed. And she wasn't sure if it was American technology that the Chinese was after or Russia. Something was up with this fucking plane.
Yeah, it was cursed from
like,
the jump.
It's not normal.
It was always going to disappear or go down somehow. People were never going to get on that plane and then get off to tell the
tale.
Home. Yeah.
No, it's sad. I mean, it's really sad. Like, it's... You see the pain that one woman... That one man who lost his whole family.
I know. He's hot.
I like the French guy. He's
really hot.
But I cannot... Can you imagine you lose your wife and only two children? Like, I cannot fathom that.
And you get nothing? You literally no one can tell you anything? That's such a lie. Like, someone knows. That just doesn't happen.
My favorite is the shots of, like, families throwing water bottles at... Like, we need more of that energy here.
Yeah.
When we don't like what's being said by politicians, we need to throw water bottles at them.
We need to insurrect in like a water bottle way.
Evian.
Mm-hmm. Just take and then... whatever in hand and just launch. I like that guy. Remember that guy that threw a shoe at, was it George Bush that he threw his shoe at?
Yeah, and George went.
Yeah, I think we should be throwing a lot more things. Maybe not, don't aim at the head. Even aim like at their body, but just throw it so they know that it's like a warning sign.
If you have like an empty water bottle that's like plastic and soft, launch that shit.
Or one sip left, just so it has a tiny bit of weight so it can get to the stage and maybe just on someone. But I don't even think like...
No.
I don't think it would hurt that bad.
But it was why, I mean, so basically... There's a few theories. The one theory that Jeff Wise, which I remember reading this article in New York Magazine, he's a little kooky, but he is like really smart. And I think he's like very dedicated. And like, it's kind of like, okay, well, like it might sound crazy, but like, why not?
Yeah.
At this point, he says that the plane was hijacked by people who went in. There's like below the galley where the flight attendants are in first class, there's like a remote control area. And he got into the system, took control away from the pilots using like his computer. Like he hacked into the plane and then depressurized the plane. So everyone died of hypoxia.
I hate that.
Which is so terrifying. And then flew the plane to Kazakhstan and then diverted a signal to make it look like they went south instead of north. And it was some sort of like act of war by Putin to like just create chaos and like hypernormalization and just be like, I can do this. I can make a whole plane disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that's a terrifying theory. The people just like asleep in the plane.
Yeah, I always hated that part of the like imagined scenarios where it's like the oxygen masks come down, then the oxygen runs out and you just do you just fall asleep or is it going to be a painful, scary thing?
No, you just fall asleep and die.
Okay, I love that. I love that. If true, let's like a peaceful slumber into the afterlife. Not that bad of a way to go. Chaos, fear,
but I remember,
confusion, choking on your own vomit, like scream, crying, babies wail. Like the thought of what's to come, not chill.
I mean, I'm sure there was some of that.
But maybe not. If you just really don't
know. If the oxygen masks come down.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be freaking out a little.
Oh, damn, yeah. Why even bother with the charade? You know what I mean? I'm like, just if you're on an airplane with me, any terrorists listening to this podcast, if we happen to be on the same plane, you're going to take it down. Just please, don't even turn it off. You know what I mean? I want to just fall asleep. I think everyone can agree. I think that's across the board. We'd all just prefer to just sleep.
Yeah. I mean, there was a golfer, Payne something. He was in a private jet and something happened and the jet depressurized and they went up to like an altitude that they weren't able to, that like wasn't meant for humans to be. And they said they all died, but they said that a fighter jet flew next to the plane and he like looked in and it was, you just saw like people just like dead in their chairs. Like,
who was alive?
No, the plane was on autopilot, but it was like still, but they were, and then it eventually crashed.
Horrific.
But yeah, I can't, I remember also reading that the plane apparently went up.
Yeah.
MH370 and like crew to like 45,000 feet or something insane.
Wasn't there,
like, what the fuck happened?
Wasn't there also like someone thought that they had discovered a photo of the plane, like, in Kazakhstan or somewhere? Like,
oh, Jeff Wise said that he did a Google search.
He Googled it.
Of this area. they did a Google map and this area, this like military base in Kazakhstan in like the desert, this area, this huge patch of land and this like weird terrain that was like this whole area had been flattened for like as like a runway, it looked like. And then there was an area that, in one Google image, like a few days before the plane, it got dug out.
Like they were going to bury it.
Yeah, and then they buried it.
I think the U.S. is involved somehow. Because when they do shit.
But why would they have shot us down?
They don't want
us. Why would
they don't want China or Russia to get their hands on the cargo? Or it's like if they're flying into airspace they're not supposed to be in. And we have militarized all these different areas, like all over the world, basically like international watchdog shit. And if something goes wrong, we're about to shut it the fuck down. It's like Lisa Vanderpump. And everyone, America is like Lisa Vanderpump. And then every other country are just the SIR employees.
No, we obviously like we're fine with killing civilians.
Yeah. And I think it's like, if you want to do that, and you're like America and you don't want anyone to find out about it, I think we have the power to do that. Or we did back then, TBD about now. But I just wish, I don't know, some psychic, a numerologist told my friend that we haven't heard the last of MH370. And I don't think he was talking about like a Netflix documentary coming out and like spilling tea. I think he was talking about like it will resurface somewhere and we'll know the truth.
Well, there were theories that they were going to turn it into like a weapon, the plane.
Yeah.
And use it as like a giant missile.
I mean,
they did it before.
Yeah.
Also, what's weird is I feel bad that they blamed the pilot for a while. I don't think he had anything to do with it.
No, I don't think that's like a common way to like go out.
Some pilots have done it, but it's not. It's like very rare.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think he was like a really convenient patsy to like bide time while deals were being made and like information was being exchanged in the meantime, and it was like a convenient narrative to feed the media because it sells lots of newspapers and gets lots of clicks and it gets people like hyped up. It's like a true crime story that people can really sink their teeth into, but I don't believe it. Like I think that's exactly what it was.
He seemed really sweet and like truly loved aviation and was like proud of being and he was a veteran pilot. Like I don't think he did it.
I love his little simulator. Aww. I said
he was, mm-hmm. And he was doing me too. And like people were like, oh, he charted a path. And like Jeff Wise was like, he didn't do it.
No.
God, the woman who, the co-pilot's wife, who was a flight attendant, just broke my heart.
I know. Everyone, like families who lost loved ones, is incredibly heartbreaking. And I truly cannot imagine just having something like that happen and then just being in the dark forever and never knowing. That's like your child getting abducted or like disappearing just never have any idea of anything ever again. Speaking of which, what happened to like the Madeleine McCann Instagram girly?
Oh, I didn't hear anything else about it after we talked about it.
I feel like maybe it didn't pan out. She was like a crazy person. Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
She's a kooky girl.
But it's a tragedy and like it's really chilling. And then there was one guy whose mom was on the plane and who's being interviewed or his dad, I forget. And he said that
the call.
Yeah. So they assembled all the families in like a hotel room in Beijing where it was heading. And he said it was like being in hell because everyone was just wailing. And like moaning because can you imagine?
I can't handle a wailing room. Post death mournful wailing.
Yeah, like people just collapsing, like their children. Like it's utter hell.
True hell.
But he said at some point this girl got a call from one of her parents that was on the plane, incoming call, and she held up the phone and said, "My mom is calling. What do I do?"
Answer that shit.
And the guy goes, I said, answer it. God damn it. And when she answered it, it was like the call was like connected for like a second and then went out.
That's sketchy.
What the fuck? And that was hours after they were saying it probably went down. So it was flying. Like, what the fuck? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it was shot down, but there was like one lone survivor who held on to like a wing for dear life and had her phone in her pocket. I have no clue.
Had a signal
and was like, I gotta call my daughter. And then the signal was like, no.
That actually gives me like heat. It's so scary.
Me too.
Like,
I'm sweating.
What
happened? Be
how
honest.
Ghostly people, is that?
People need to be honest. It's time.
Oh my God. I got the scariest was, I remember reading about it at the time and they said like, oh my God. Because the media was so ghoulish about it. And they were like,
they loved it.
They were writing, like the New York Times, they were all writing like fantasies about like, what would you be hearing on this plane? And they said, if everyone was dead by hypoxia, then you would just see an empty, a silent cabin with like bottles rolling around and phones going off. And I was like,
oh, I hate that so much. Wait, have you started reading that book, The Deluge?
I did. I love it.
Love it, but I'm terrified.
Where are you on?
I'm like 40% into it. I'm like 300. I'm like almost at the halfway point.
Oh.
I'm like 300 or 400.
I'm 163.
Yeah. it's like ramping, it's ramping up. And then there are scenarios where I'm like, I think of you because I'm like, this is going to freak Carrie out. It's truly takes it to a place of en masse that I'm not even prepared for, but I'm also on the edge of my goddamn seat.
I'm obsessed with Kate. Katie.
Kate Morris.
She kind of reminds me of Sheena. I kept seeing in my head, I know she's like,
you see, I kept imagining,
for some reason,
Sheena,
I kept imagining Sheena.
I love that.
Is she bad or is she good?
TBD, kind of. Like, I think everyone's kind of bad and good in the book. I'm obsessed with Jackie, the advertising agency girlina.
The one who fucked the actor?
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Guys, if you don't know idea what we're talking about, I mentioned this book on the bonus episode called The Deluge, and it's like a climate disaster thriller that's like 800 pages, but we're deep in it.
Slow-burning apocalypse.
It's a slow-burning apocalypse that begins like in 2013 and then I think goes like years and years into the future, but it is true.
Hell on earth.
It's a climate horror. Yeah. It's making me fear climate change in a way that I haven't feared it before now.
That whole part about the heroin addict and like the blizzard, that freaked me out.
Yeah. So buckle up, baby.
Not really a fan of some of his behavior.
No, don't love what he's been up to.
Anyway, speaking of slow burner horror
and behavior that we don't love,
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique MH370 Pumpheads. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you, like I'm feeling you. One of these people knows what happened.
I think Lisa probably knows what happened.
Of course, darling.
She goes, I have graves. I have graves all over my house for the victims of MH370. When someone there says they have graves, they're thinking of you because they're standing amidst the graves that are all over their properties. I literally gasped.
Oh, darling.
Darling, how are you?
Too, darling. I could put you into the ground.
I was just thinking about you, looking around at all of my graves. She was in a place of graves.
My best friends growing up, their family moved into this like beautiful like house that had been like a farm. It was like part of it used to be a farmhouse, and it was built around this on like this big plot of land. And they had a cow. They found a cow grave for like the farmer that lived there, buried their cow there. Named like Old Bess or something, but they we used to have sleepovers in her. It's my friend Matt that you know, and his brother Tommy, and we used to have sleepovers in their basement. And they would go, "Do you hear that, Carrie? The cows are great." and they would be like, "You can hear the cows at night," and I would be so freaked out because they had like a crawl space in their basement, and like they used to tell me they could hear the mooing, the silence of the cows.
You were haunted by Old Bess, the ghost of Old Bess.
I was.
Cows are freaky, though. Like,
they
are. They ever thinking? Some of
Remember
them are.
Remember Bone Gate?
I think they're, I think that they're sweet and smart mostly, but they're also dumb and sinister mostly. So it's hard to
I think they're
really
mostly
know.
Dumb.
They can be sinister. At night, a cow standing and you just like look in the eye, its eyes glint in the dead of night. There's something off about that.
Well, they're like, they're kind of like. They're so vulnerable that it's almost, they're freaky. It's like they stare at you and they're like, I know you know that I'm going to die for you. And you're going to look into my eyes and see my fragility. And it's a punishment. Or like,
but I'm big enough to kill you. I could kill. I'm big enough to kill you.
I could hoof you in the throat and rip out your esophagus.
Yeah. Cows could end us. Yet they're terrified.
They're always like being abducted or like prodded, and like there is something like ghostly about cows because of what their purpose is. Anyway,
Old Bess. I'm sad that no one in the intro to VPR spills their drinks anymore. No one's sloshing drinks around like they used to.
I know,
it's really sad.
Well, Lisa lost her liquor license at Pump.
I know, but I think that someone said it's like a thing that can get resolved in like a day and a half.
I'm saying she has to conserve her liquor. That's why no one's spilling it.
Don't spill it, doll. It's Vegas Nights with Raquel. Mm.
Okay. Don't hate me.
What?
I feel bad for her.
Obviously. I'm not a monster.
I know, but people are going to be like,
she's really bad. No, you know what I said to myself after this little Vegas journey? I said, I kind of like Raquel.
I felt bad
for
her.
I was like, Raquel,
she was being
just honest.
Sweet.
Just sweet Raquel.
Rachel.
She's having a Vegas night.
She's going through, I mean, I kept thinking like, I felt bad for her, but I was like, at the same time, I think at this point she's beginning to carry on an affair.
Yeah, I think she's
doing some
tortured by her own choices. Like, I think it's already started and she already knows that it's really fucked up, but like can't control it or like is still curious about what draws her into these dark corners. And she's the emotional like fallout of that is like what we're seeing kind of play out. But I
wish leaning into her shadow.
Yeah, I wish that Sheena was there in Vegas to be with Raquel and like whoop it up with her.
But we got Charlie, which was great, and like Charlie was a great.
Charlie was too little, too late. The damage had already been done. It was 3-1.
But I did appreciate Charlie coming in and just being like, "I'm not afraid of any of you."
Yeah, that was baller. Lala and Katie are like in a king size bed in the suite, and Lala goes, "The sloppiness of Raquel tonight." And they're like, "Yeah, what a sloppy bitch." I was like, "What? She's like a beauty queen. She's like microwaving something. She's literally not sloppy. She's just like a little bit drunk."
Lala, you headbutted a trans woman.
You've been talking about sloppy. You like shoved someone, fat shamed people. Like, you are so sloppy. And like, I love Katie Maloney of all people.
I know.
Getting on her high horse. I literally just watched the episode where she goes, "He's sticking up for the whore in there," when she like tries to like destroy Sheena for like giving Peter like a fun flirty lap dance on his like birthday as a joke. Like, Katie with orange hair like crying before Tom Schwartz like pours a beer on her. I'm like, you guys literally are sloppy ground zero.
Katie is very, it's very like Elvira, Mistress of the Night, when the townspeople are like coming for her head. They are. They're like PTA. They're like PTA moms.
I don't get it. It's like you put these women together and they cannot help but single someone out and decide to hate them and that they're better than them and they've forgotten everything they've ever done. And they witch hunt and crucify a woman. It's just
the way it goes. It's giving Music Man. It's giving Marion the Librarian. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick, 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 talk a little. He left River City, the library building, but he left all the books to her. Balzac. It's truly, they're literally like hens being like,
yeah. Yeah, I was mostly worried for Raquel when she goes, "Thank you, Lisa Vanderpump, for the leftovers," and microwaved truly a bowl of slop and then started eating it. Internally, I go, "You're in danger, girl. You're not gonna live
through this." I was just like, I've been there.
I get it, but I'm also like, this is dicey territory. Everyone's leftovers.
It looks like Thanksgiving. It looks like stuffing or like something. I was like, what?
It was what Paris? So brown.
Ugh.
It was so brown with like a big old glop of macaroni. I was like, this is The Last of Us. This is where The Last of Us started.
I was also like, I know she's gassy. After eating that, I was like truly worried for her stomach.
Well, she's young, so I think you can like.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You can Hoover late at night as a youth and still like live to tell the tale the next day. Katie's also such a troll. She goes, "Raquel, like, you made out with Oliver. Why are you like this?" I was like, just because you're a no sex having Teletubby doesn't mean that you can just shame this girl.
Christina Kelly gets into bed and it's just, it's like literally the three versus Raquel sitting on the end of the bed with her turkey stuffing, just like groveling at their
with
feet
her gruel.
And being like, with her fucking porridge. And the three the three hens are at the other end of the bed, all judging her, casting scowling aspersions.
At her. I'm also like, can you guys lighten the fuck up? You're in Vegas. You're in Vegas. She did exactly what you go to Vegas to do, which is like get drunk and have a good time. And the three of you are sitting here like, I have to say, I hate Christina Kelly.
She's so mean.
She sucks ass. She's so judgmental. And I'm like, what are you bringing to the... I love that she's on the show because I love to have some people to hate on the show.
Look at me with my nose. But what I will say is that Christina Kelly did have Raquel's number a little bit.
She did, but she's just like...
But she also didn't.
Yeah.
They're just mean. They're mean girling her. They're stonewalling her. She's at the end of the bed. She's like...
She's a puppy. She barely being... just wants you to be like, laugh with her and like pay attention to her. And then Katie's like, I have to say, Raquel's always after everyone's man and it is a red flag. And Lala goes, you drinking? I would never trust you around my man.
And then Raquel goes, well, thank God you don't have a man for me to be around. And Lala goes, Lo, you should go to bed. I can't. Don't eat. Like, I was like, Lala, I love Lala, but I'm like, you have said some abhorrent shit to people. You have said some horrible things to people.
Also, like, you were a mistress. You literally fucked this girl's man, and you just told her about it. I love Lala going, no, you got to get out of here now. She literally took offense that just any woman would be, I feel offended for any woman that has to watch her say this. I'm also like, you're projecting. Like, you're just projecting your own situation and how bad you feel about your own situation onto this woman. Because it's not about like not trusting a floozy around your man. It's actually about trusting your man around a floozy.
It's also just like, you fucked this girl's ex-fiance.
You literally will be, one second you'll be like, that is enough, like, disengage, bitch, like, that is so disrespectful. And when I fucked your man 6 years ago, and you're like, what are you speaking of?
When I fucked your man, I never insulted you.
When I fucked your man, when you were together Raquel, 6 years ago.
Raquel sounded like a child, like when she made, like, that was like a Rugrats insult.
I don't think she thought it through. I don't think she meant it mean. I thought it was like very just like point blank, like, good thing. It's good if that's how you feel. It's really good that you don't have a man around. That's just facts, Dole.
I did see the glimmer in her eye, the glint of guilt. You could see it.
Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. She knows what she's engaging in. I love her going into her room and turning on a light machine and just having like a Taylor Swift dance party. I was like, this is fun. Like, I would want to be in that room.
Yeah, it was cute. I felt it was like, she's like a sweet, she's like this like golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad that she went in there to like soothe, I think. And like Christina just Kelly goes in, she's like, thing. Oh my God, what are these lights? My God, Raquel, this is so weird.
The thing is like, I think Christina Kelly brings out, she initiates that kind of energy in other people where it's like, there's always like one girl or person when the vibe like this shifts and it becomes like against the person on the trip. There's always one person who's like kind of starts it or who's like, oh my God, like Raquel. And then it's like, because Katie said, my toothbrush is in there. I can't go in there. And if I were in that situation with her, I'd be like, just fucking go and get your toothbrush. It's like not a big deal. Like, just go in there. Like, what? But Christina Kelly is the kind of person that's like, you want me to do it? I'll do it. I don't care. I'll go in there and get it. I'll go in. And then goes and spies. And then is like, you guys wouldn't even believe what she's up to in there. She's a light machine and is playing music and then like hypes everyone up to be like thinking it's so weird that she's just doing something that like people like to do.
Yeah, it was very like mob mentality. It was like the Stanford Prison Experiment.
It was.
And I didn't like that. I'm like, again, like, you have all been disgusting goblins. You have all been drunk on drugs, like, out of your fucking mind on this show, like, making absolute fools of yourself long before Rachel/Raquel came in. And here you are, this girl's, like, eating a little stuffing and, like, then goes in and, like, soothes with, like, a baby light machine and, like, listens to, like, 1989.
Like, Taylor Swift, like, what is wrong with that?
That's the least of your... That's probably the least sloppy thing I can imagine.
She's not... She's, like, categorically not sloppy. I've seen much sloppier.
Yeah, me.
I'm like, you guys, you're not being fun. This isn't, like, Vegas vibes.
It's not like she's, like, peeing their bed or something. It's like she's just, like... And then... Then they,
she
just
wanted to eat a little bit of gravy. She wanted to heat up some gravy and mac and cheese from Vanderpump Paris and like microwave a little bread, stir it all together and slop it up. What's wrong with that, really? That's sensible. It was the only food around.
She's a horse.
Yeah.
And then she waits by the door and listens in as they just like cackle and like kiki about hating her.
I was sad. Then she starts crying in her little light room. That's not fair.
You know what I thought?
What?
Do Sandoval and her sleep with lights on like that?
Probably. They probably have dance parties at night. Do you think she texted him that night? Mm-hmm. It's so messy. But I blame Sandoval. I'm done blaming Raquel. I'm done blaming Sandoval's Raquel. The next day... They're talking and Lala goes, what she showed up with on this bed last night, I'm appalled. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Lala goes, I respect people's relationships. And she just does not. I was like, you literally fucked her. It's like, you literally engaged in like two affairs outside of marriage. Both as the mistress, actually. And one worked out. And that's like truly no judgment. It just is what it is. It's just the truth. It's the fact of the matter.
But don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah. Just be like.
Just own it.
You could also just be like, I don't like this person. You don't have to like pretend to like them and like make. I think that makes it worse is like the pretending to like her and like be nice. But really it's like you just don't like her. And that's fine. But don't try and make it all about this. Who cares that much?
You know what I don't like, too, is, like, as a sober person, like, being super judgmental of, like, drunk people. That's, like, it's okay. Like, obviously, like, I've gotten annoyed at, like, being out and, like, being, like, spilled on and stuff. But, like, especially someone you're friends with, like, don't judge them.
No, she's a little bit on a sobriety high horse.
Yeah, it's, like, I always try to think, like, I've had moments, like, I'm not, obviously, like, I've judged and, like, or at least wait till you're, like, not with them anymore to judge them. But like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just always think like I was wetting my bed four nights a week and like what? And like eating like Slim Jims and like hoarding Slim Jims in my bed and like falling asleep with like chips all over. Like I was a pig person. So like I have no room to judge anyone.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, get off your, that's not what sobriety's about. Like especially in recovery, like it's attraction, not promotion.
Yeah. It also just is like, I think it's easy to do, like, even though she has 4 years, it's easy to do on this show, but even though she has 4 years, that's still like early on if you're considering like the rest of your life. You know what I mean? And it's like, it is an accomplishment and you have gone through a lot, but like,
she has.
It's also like, I don't think that you can just dismiss any of your past behaviors and just chalk it up to like I was drinking and then like have it be okay. Like that's not how it works either. You still have to have like radical responsibility for your actions. You still chose to do something. Like, yeah, you're gonna probably make bad choices sober too. That's just like the nature of being a human being. So like I don't buy that as an excuse. And that also shouldn't be an excuse that, like, shuts down the conversation. You can, like, weaponize your sobriety. Like, it just is not, it's not the look.
Drinking is just a symptom of alcoholism.
The next day when they woke up and I realized that they still have to go to fucking Lake Havasu, I felt devastated for Rock.
When they're driving Well, first we head back to Valley Village, where Jesui Schwartz is getting a closet organization via Sheena.
Mm-hmm.
Via some girl.
Via a girl named Shira, I think.
Shira and Sheena.
She's like, get in here. He does dress like this. He dresses like shit. We got to get him dressed up. She goes, I want you to have big dick energy. I want you to get your Schwartz back. I just wrote something. This woman, Shira, what?
I'm so attracted to Schwartz this season, and I like really hate myself for it.
We all go through this. I get it.
I saw a clip of him at the airport like last week, and TMZ was like asking about it, and he like talked to them and was like super charming, and I was just like, I want to suck your dick and package claim in front of everyone. Like, I was like, I will go down right now.
You want to give him a public beach?
Yeah, I was like that, and I usually am like so repulsed by him, but for some reason this season I'm like,
the act that he has down of this kind of like sad, tall, nice guy who just needs mommy or daddy to like help him out, and it is an aphrodisiac, I won't lie, but I also don't want to fall prey to that. Like, I want him to like cry to me and then we like fuck.
Yeah, but then I'm like, he dumped like a drink on his wife's head.
No, he's a pig, but like,
he's a pig. But I have to live in my truth.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand. Honesty is the first step to a radical transformation. And I support this and I won't judge that.
I feel like I've relapsed on Schwartz.
I know. When he started crying in like episode 2 or something, I was like, I felt the tingle. And I was like, yeah, oof. Sad boy energy can take you far in sexual terms. It's its own like sexual currency at times, and we have to rail against that. We cannot reward these sad boys, even if they're hot and sad. You know who will be even sadder at the end of an escapade?
Me.
You. Mm-hmm.
My pussy. Your
pussy. They should have like a type of sex worker male gigolo who does like hot sad boy stuff that then you can just like, you never
exercise
have to see him again.
It from yourself.
Like, yeah. you get it out of your system without it sucking your energy like a vampire. Shira, I wrote, is doing God's work by going through this man's clothes. But then he does something that infuriated me, which is she was like taking things out of his closet that were hideous and being like, does this bring you joy? Like, we've got to get rid of this. This is stressing me out. And like throwing them into a pile. And he was like, no, but I think Katie will want this. Like, put it in the Katie pile to give to Katie. And I was like, imagine your ex or ex-husband giving you a pile of his ugliest clothes that he no longer wants to wear and thinks that you might want them. I was like, bitch, like,
he's so
when women leave, like, we take the things we want, and if it's left there, trust, we never want to see that again, ever. Like, this is a true PSA. Absolute, just place your trust in me when I tell you this. No woman, no ex of yours wants a pile of your old clothes once you've broken up, and especially when you're getting styled to have a whole new style and you're going to give me your trash. Think it
through.
The
narcissism is like the size of a planetarium.
This is straight man.
Galaxy brain, straight man, galaxy brain.
Sad boy behavior. Yeah. Through and through. The sad boys, they really do think you want like a pair of pants with like a mustard stain on them. Like, they really would think that you would be the person to give like a gas station attendant shirt cut off at the sleeves. Like, she doesn't want that. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? I was like, my attraction was gone. Yeah, she left and she took things that she wanted and started a new life. It's crazy.
And Sheena's like, well, she's having a divorce party that I wasn't invited to with the girls, so like, let's do one for you. We can get all the guys together and me.
She goes, having a divorce party, I wasn't invited. but I've come to expect that.
Let's get the boys together. Like,
boys' night. I'll come.
At the Mondrian,
which I love.
Sky Bar.
Back with the girlies on the way to Lake Havasu, Raquel reminds them that James, when they went home for Thanksgiving, like towards the end of their relationship, and he called her dad sad and said her mom was fat.
This man is a nightmare. He's bad.
Out of control.
He's out of control.
That is so fucking mean.
It's so mean. It's so funny, but it's also just funny because it's not happening to me or anyone that I love. Like, his roasts, he can go there, but it's truly like if someone said that to me, I would immediately leave them. Like, you cannot say that to your sicko.
No. It's just so cruel and like demeaning. And he's like, and by the way, I'm like, James, no offense, but like, you want to talk about fucked up families? Let's examine your Oliver Twist father and your like mom who robbed a bank.
Again, it takes one to know one. It's all projection. And that's what is like, that's one of the things I love about this show is like everyone quickly forgets their own bullshit and then just projects it on to the most triggering person in the friend group to them. And I'm like, you guys are incredible at never learning a thing. Raquel goes, she goes, who am I? Literally, people have been asking me, Raquel, who are you? And you know what I say? I don't know. And I was like, wow, relatable queen sobbing. She truly has no idea who she is. And I'm like, I get that. I see that for her.
Yeah, that's your 20s. Then she...
Getting
she has like a
dick
full...
down by Sandoval. She's literally fucked the guy who's like basically like partner in life just had to fly back home to like put her dog down. And Raquel's like, I fucked him. She's like,
multiple
who
times.
Am I? That is a question you would ask yourself a lot in that situation.
She has like a total anxiety attack in the car and like is hyperventilating, and Christina Kelly's like, oh, Raquel, are you okay?
She doesn't care.
Oh, she doesn't give a shit.
She's trying to breathe. I wrote...
She's trying to get info out of her.
Yeah, she's pumping her for information. She's taking advantage of Raquel and her vulnerable state.
I think Christina knows that she's having an affair with someone.
She knows something in the milk ain't clean. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. But I also wrote, these bitches are going to kill Raquel and bury her in the desert.
Like
it was giving
demon.
Like Goodfellas. I was truly in a place of casino watching them like in the dusty Vegas winds blowing. I was like, they're going to bury Raquel alive. They're going to kill her like they killed Joe Pesci in Casino, where they beat him to death in a cornfield and just like leave him and his brother for dead.
It's also giving Neon Demon.
Totally. And then Lala goes, here, sparkling water, and hands her a Voss sparkling water, which I have to say, for anyone listening to Too Niche, when we hauled sparkling waters, that was the worst tasting sparkling water either Elizabeth and I had ever tried in our lives. It got an F across the board.
Everyone's obsessed with it.
It's heinous. It tastes flat. It tastes like toilet water that someone kind of half-assed, like, sparkled, like, they took it out of a toilet and then put it in a soda stream and just pumped the soda stream once and then put it in a bottle. It's so bad. I'm not
Gross.
Even kidding. It's disgusting.
I think it just looks chic.
It was the bottle. It was the first like round bottle like that. It really
the bottle
blew people away.
I was a little chilled to the bone when she went from crying to laughing and like fine. And Christina goes, oh, you're laughing now. That's good. And I was like,
she's Joker vibes. She's Joker too. Her and Sandoval are literally Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix in the Todd Phillips, the Joker too.
Folie à deux.
Also, I was like, Raquel has deaf slept with Sandy at this point and has insane guilt that's tearing her apart. But this is her metamorphosis moment. This we're literally seeing the birth of a villain. Speaking of which, Is that rumor true that Raquel and Sheena are not even allowed to be have contact with each other, period?
I don't know.
Apparently, there's some Instagram slide going around that says that because of the restraining order, Raquel and Shishu aren't allowed to have any contact, not even over Zoom, which just made me laugh. Because you would have to accept a Zoom from someone to have contact.
Sheena's going to come through the screen like Samara.
Don't you dare send me a Zoom link. What, they're acting like she would have to like accept a Zoom? Like, you, it takes two to Zoom. Anyways, but all of that is to say, I love, don't you dare. Don't even think about Zooming. You're like, I wouldn't, because it would be have to be a conscious choice. Imagine like someone filing a restraining order on you and then you being like, I'm gonna send him a Zoom link and see if they'll take the bait.
Sheena would.
She's like, click that link. She like disguises it as a bit.ly link. She's like, disguises it as a spam, like Shane mm-hmm. link. She's like, 20% off bandage dresses. Click here. It's like from and then Raquel clicks on it. And Sheena's, surprise, bitch, you're on fucking Zoom with me, Sheena Shea. Sheena on the beat. And she tries to, like, get a scoop.
She goes, surprise, bitch, you're on the reunion right now. We're all here.
We're all here. Sheena on the beat. What do you have to say for yourself? Go.
Andy Cohen's here, too.
I want Sheena to take over the reunion. Like, she needs to walk up to Andy Cohen mid-reunion, take the mic out of, like, unhook the mic from him and hook it to herself, sit on his lap, and just take over the entire thing. She leads the conversation. She goes, we're gonna get Raquel right now. She hacks into, she finds a way to disguise her phone number, send Raquel a fake link for a shopping sale, and lo and behold, bandage dresses for a Forever 21 bandage dress sale.
And Raquel goes, this looks really fun. Good.
I love it. I want to see what the deals are.
Oh!
She goes,
oh no, it was a trap.
30% off at Ulta? Well, don't mind if I do. And then Sheena is back and
wow, American Eagle has really rebranded themselves. I'm interested.
I could use a pair of Irie underwear. Okay. 5 for $25.
Oh my god.
Oh. Dad, don't you dare interact. Not in life and not on Zoom. You'd have to... What are you talking about? Anyways, so I think that...
Oh, a gift certificate to Nordstrom. Here we go. I've won a free trip, it says, to Hawaii.
I've always wanted to go to the Big Island. Okay, let's see what this
Here
is all
we
about.
Go. Hey, bitch. Gotcha. Surprised to see me? Thought so.
Also, you have to, like...
I'm here with the whole crew.
I pretty much invited the whole crew, Sheena would say, to the Zoom.
Oh,
no.
It says I've been accepted to graduate school. Maybe I'll be in academia now. Maybe that's who I am. I'm an academic. Oh, no.
Oh, top 5 kinesiologists list. Click here to see more. Wow, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Okay.
Wow, x-ray technician. I can do that.
I should look that up. What was I going to say? Oh, I think, producers cannot bend to this. And if they really aren't allowed to have contact, they need to just have... Well, I'm going to watch, but we will watch.
I know. I'm kidding.
I know. But they need to just have Raquel in a room. Like, they can swap them out. They could cover, they could hide. They don't have to have contact ever. They can just walk people in and out and like interview them at different times. Like, I don't especially need them to interact, but I do need everyone else to interact with Raquel, and I need Raquel to interact with Tom, and I need answers, and I need them to be present. And if truly, it has to be figured out. We have to come from a place of we're figuring this out.
They will. They'll figure it out. I trust. They know. They can't. This is like such an opportunity for ratings.
I know.
I'm sure. I think ratings have already increased for VPR.
They had to have.
So back in Arizona, they get to Lake Havasu, and it's what you think. But their house is kind of cute.
It's fine. Has one of those like child protector things around the pool. Don't love that. Mm-mm. It's fine if you have kids, but like not at a vacation home. My God.
Queen Charlie.
Charlie
enters holding a box of Modelo. I was like, that's a queen. I get her.
She was, hey, single whores. Are there any single whores here? I was like, when someone enters like that, you know you're about to have a really good time.
She's a beer girl.
She is a beer girl. She's fun. She goes, Modelo. All I know about Modelo in hand. She goes, all I know about Christina Kelly is that she used to work at Sir, and now she sells lip balm for a living.
She gags me.
I said, you're a good one. I take back everything I said, naysaying Charlie. I was like, you're an essential worker this season.
She also might be a genius.
I think she kind of is. She's a bit chouse, which I like. She brings a certain chouse to the party and a little bit.
She does not care at all.
She doesn't.
I love it.
I love her going into some place and then immediately after laughing and being like, that was hysterical. We're like really stirring the fucking pot and then being like, that was the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life. And then like laughing and being like, let's do karaoke. That's the kind of friend you really need.
Back in WeHo, we had to Tum Tum. Sandoval's wearing the lightning bolt.
And a lightning bolt earring. I noticed that. What's he trying to say? He's signaling to Rock. Did you see Ariana? Oh, I saw that you saw it because you commented on it.
We both did. Saw it.
Her beautiful comeback post. She's never looked better. Gorgeous dress. Living, laughing, loving. I was like, this is a new era for her. The new chapter begins now.
I was like, should I comment? Is that weird? And then I was like, whatever.
No, I was like, heart. Yeah, we have to support. We have to support our girl.
Support our queen.
You have to be in that moment. You have to ask yourself, am I a feminist or not?
I'm a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
Sandoval and James are kind of wanting to like divest from Tom Tom.
Oh, the Tom, Sandy and Schwartz. Yeah, they're
Sandy
on the
and
fence.
Schwartz. Sorry. They're on the fence. They talk to Max. They go, how's the covers for tonight? Max goes, oh, it's good.
As though they even know what they're talking about.
They haven't been there in months.
I know. I'm also like, the jig's up. Like, Lisa basically just laid out what your actual role is at this restaurant. And like, that you literally just come here to shake hands and take photos. And that's why she gave you the opportunity to give her $50,000 each. I'm obsessed.
Max has more stake in this place than you.
Max actually works. He's like managing the restaurant.
Yeah.
These are truly two celebrated idiots. They're like, I love, what's the cover tonight?
It's the cover. It's good.
Someone says, he goes, that's my favorite place in this restaurant. That chair. Love it there. I'm like, shut up. You're so worthless in this space. You know, I love Lisa being like, well, there they are. She knew it would just be good business to have them around and then convince them to pay her 50 grand. I was like, this woman is actually genius level.
The fools have arrived.
The Pied Piper.
They're the jesters.
Yeah, the court jesters are flitting about.
James completely jaywalks across Santa Monica Boulevard, like somehow like dodging traffic. I was like, wow, the confidence.
He does whatever he wants.
He's like, yeah, I need a guy's night, too. I was like, yeah, you need a guy's night in your hole. You need to be, like, bukkake.
You need to be DP'd. That's a guy's night. Classic guy's night. Guy's night. It's on. Guy's night. Oi.
Guys, it's on.
It's on. It's on, mate. It's, guys,
it's on,
tonight.
Mates. It's on, blokes. Get in here. Get in my mouth. All of you, let's see if we all fit it in.
One in my mouth, two in the stink. Let's go. Rightio. Slide it in. Guys' night. That is guys' night.
Yeah. And we have
mm-hmm. Yeah. In that corner? You kidding? There are a lot of guys' night. Oop, a lot of guys' nights happening over there. In that neck of the woods. James says that Allie doesn't want him speaking to Raquel anymore. And he's like, right, fair. I gotta do that. I gotta stop seeing her.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I like Allie.
Me too. He goes, next thing you know, it's DJ Raquel. See you next Wednesday. I was like, imagining DJ Raquel. See you next Wednesday. I was like, I'm gonna say more. She goes,
I'd go.
I'd go.
Wow, these knobs and turn screws. How am I supposed to manage this whole cockamamie thing?
Also, I'm like, wow, the bar's low because literally when we went to serve, someone played porn accidentally. Or like when we went to Tom's house. So like, I really think you can just plug and play.
Lesbian porn.
I mean, they'd do well to have like a dedicated DJ. Like, I think Raquel could do a better job than that. She's like, so you're telling me I just plug in my phone and press play? And we're like, yeah, that's it.
I'll make a playlist. It'll take me some time, but I'll get you back to one.
I want to know her playlist. Like, I like a Taylor Swift. I'm open. I'm really open to it.
How to save a life.
The girlies.
The girlies. Jinx. The girlies are so mean to Ms. Rich.
Also, the places they're going, I was like, this Lake Havasu trip is a flop. They're going to Martini Bay and no Lake Havasu. I'm sorry, but like a martini restaurant that's doing like a chocolate syrup around the glass.
Ugh.
Don't. Don't even take it there. Don't you dare. Don't.
Christina goes, can we just do a Caesar for the whole team? I was like, that's me.
No, I would love that. But I feel it's like, Christina Kelly makes me nervous because I feel like we would go out to eat and I'm trying to feast. I'm trying to literally feast. And I feel like she does not want to feast in the way that I want to feast.
She's butter lettuce.
She's Caesar, one Caesar for the whole table. And I'm like, that's not going to work. I'd be SOS eyes to whoever and be just like psychically relaying the need to feast and getting them on board just through eye contact alone.
Charlie goes, all the Corona Light.
I love her.
What?
She drinks like that. I feel like that's how my like first stepmom used to like order at restaurant. Like it's such like a it's like a
Angie?
Stepmother. Yeah, it's a stepmother drink kind of Corona Light.
What Lala if Charlie goes, was Angie?
That would be wild. Lala goes, when Raquel drinks, she turns into a different person. I was like, no, she doesn't actually. That's you.
No.
It's actually you who do that. Miss
Kent. You're sober.
I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's true.
She's gonna
Also, I'm like, look around. Look at the person next to you, Katie.
Yeah,
she changes. She's fucking Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
She literally had like an alternate identity created for so that people could process and deal with her personality disorder that came out when she was drinking too much.
That is like my biggest pet peeve. I remember when people would be like, ah, you know, KK's coming out or like Sass is coming out. You know, like they would, I'm like, shut up. Don't name yourself.
Oh, they name your alter ego?
No, they name their own.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
They revel in it.
No, that's like alcoholism. That's early stage alcoholism. Late stage, I think, is having a nickname that other people have come up for you that you get really mad about because you kind of know it's true. and you don't like that they've identified you with like your alternate name and identity that's specifically geared at when you've had too much to drink and you become a different person.
Late stage is when you just become, you don't transition back from the nickname.
That's actually mid-stage. Mid-stage is nickname. Early stage is you giving yourself like a silly nickname that's funny that actually isn't representative of the monster that lies within. Mid-stage is everyone around you has given you a nickname that you do not like. And you ask them specifically not to call you that because it really triggers you, but you still continue to drink and act like that. So they do it. Yeah. And then late stage is you just become the thing that you hate the most. Wow. We really did something there. We really, really cracked it. We did. They continue to slut shame all these sexless ladies getting mad at a chaotic whore. Like, I can't.
And then Markel goes, I mean, Lala, you slept with a married man. You were literally a mistress.
I was like, not wrong.
I don't know.
She might be one right now, but she's not wrong about you.
And Lala goes,
Wow.
She goes, when you said that earlier today, last night on the bed, it was shocking. I felt offended for everyone in a relationship. I love it. You were shocked. I love being shocked. Drunk Raquel warbling out some nonsense to you. Being offended on behalf of women and everyone in a relationship. Charlie goes, I don't know who made Lala the spokeswoman of women, but we need to find a new one. People on Vanderpump Rules, the women on Vanderpump Rules love to step into spokeswoman of all women. I feel like Stassi tried to do it, failed. Lala's trying to do it, failed. Dodie has tried to do it, failed. Like, it's, you cannot be that person. It's an impossible. You can't be it.
Now they're trying again.
They love a flop as the spokeswoman, but then get right back on the horse. Learn nothing and continue. Press onwards.
The next day, Lisa calls Ariana, who's like, whose dog has died.
Katie starts to get vicious with Rock. She goes, I've been very, very, very gracious to you. And I could tear you apart if I wanted to. I could set you on fire. I could light you up. I was like, what? No, you actually couldn't.
You fell through a skylight.
Wait, I love them just dressing Raquel down about how drunk and offensive she was when you literally fell through a skylight drunk. I mean, I don't know the substances that were involved, but I would gather. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's highly probable, which isn't, as we know, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But Lala also, again, she's like, when people call me a mistress, it hurts because it's me who's had to wear that and live with the accusations. And I was like, again, you're just projecting your own experience onto this woman. And no one is taking Tom Schwartz into account or holding his feet to the fire. And you're just doing the same thing.
No, it's like, he's baby. He knows nothing.
Yeah.
He needs his diaper changed. He is innocent in this wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Lisa FaceTimes.
Yeah. Ariana's beloved pooch has unfortunately departed. And Lisa goes, how are you, darling? I was thinking about you. I'm looking down at all these little graves around my house.
For Jiggy and Pink Dog. And it just shows like graves. She's like standing in the midst of her sprawling pet cemetery, ushering Ariana into the doom and gloom of a lost loved pet.
Can you imagine? I was thinking about you. I'm standing on a grave right now.
Going hello. And her going, how are you? I was thinking of you. I have all these little graves at my house for Cheeky and Pink Dog. If someone said I'm standing amidst the graves thinking of you, I would be like, am I in the
going
ring?
To hiding.
I'm truly in a horror movie.
Why don't you plot out your
Why don't you stake out your plot now up here at Villa Rosa for yourself, Ariana?
Mm-hmm. You've always lived here.
She's like, what?
Amongst the graves.
Nothing.
Well, is she offering like a plot in her pet cemetery for Ariana's dog?
I think so.
Okay, that's nice.
Gracious.
I'd say I'd love that. But then do you have to like...
You have to go there.
Come and go whenever you want. You probably have to get permish.
I don't want to be on her schedule. I want to be on my own grieving schedule.
Yeah, like I don't want to have to send a text and like arrange. I'm like, if there's like a back door, you can just give me a key to, like, I'll never go in the house, or just like build a little path, make it away from the house. Like, it doesn't have to be connected, so I can just go and mourn. But I think I'm more of like a save the ashes in a beautiful urn kind of gal.
Yeah. Logan's in an urn.
I like an urn. All like many of my dad's cats that have passed away are in urns. I kept like a mini urn of my grandmother's ashes. Like I'm really all about an urn.
I love an urn.
That's just me. Charlie and Raquel, they wake up, just two hungover broads in a bed.
Raquel moves her stuff down to Charlie's room the night before.
They stayed out.
Like, yeah, they stayed out. They wouldn't care. I'm like, they're fun.
They are just having fun. Charlie really
Raquel's
owned
kinda like,
the room.
Do you want to get the fuck out of here?
She's honestly, I don't feel welcome and I don't feel like staying. I think we should just like drive back. And Charlie goes, yeah, let's just tell him now. Rip off the Band-Aid. I love that. I wouldn't want to stay either if I were them.
Me neither.
I'd be like, you guys are not fun. This is like not a fun vibe. Also, we're in Lake Havasu. I hate it here.
Raquel looks ill.
I think she's like deeply hungover and like weighed down with guilt. Mm-hmm. I'm also crying at Charlie only saying one night. She's coming in being like, any whores here? And then being like, I'm out of here. Like less than 24 hours later.
Power she knows move. Her boundaries. She knows her exit mm-hmm. when she sees one. And they go out and... Well, before they go, Raquel's like, yeah, I think they're all going out tonight. Anyway, back in L.A. and at the Mondrian Schwartz and Sandoval. I was like, Sandoval
told
her.
You're trying to see your man. Yeah. You're sick. You're a sick woman. You're sick for that.
They go outside to break the news to the other girlies.
Charlie leans up against the doorframe. She goes, hi. And they go, you look cute. And she goes, yeah. Looks at Raquel and Raquel goes, so we're leaving. I don't feel comfortable here anymore. We're going to leave and we're actually meeting up with Sheena and Schwartz at the Mondrian tonight. I was like, you're wild for that.
But like, and then Christina Kelly goes, that makes sense. And then Charlie goes, oh, Christina, shut the fuck up. Which I was like, hell yeah.
That's what...
Yeah, Christina, what makes sense?
Yeah, I loved that.
I was like, that's a real friend. You don't really know what's going on. She kind of knows loosely, but she's like not really involved. She doesn't know this person. I just love that. She already has her number and she's like, oh, bitch, what the fuck? What are you saying?
Yeah,
what are you trying
to say? Sense. Yeah.
What makes sense, Christina? I love that.
And
I was
also,
like,
it's,
yes.
They are
we
kind
needed
of
that.
The exact people who, if you step to them in that way, they back down because they know that they're just being bitches. Like
they're all bark.
Especially Christina Kelly. I'm like, honey.
Because Christina Kelly seems to know better. She seems like smarter than the other broads. So I think that probably shook her a little.
I think anyone just like stepping up shakes them to their cores. I wrote Charlie is queen.
Oh, what makes sense, Christina?
She goes,
Christina's like, I'm going to go have a soda with lime. She
goes,
this is very Christina Kelly. She goes,
she doesn't walk. She floats.
She goes, and packs away into the lake.
Mm-hmm. Lala goes, we're done here. Safe travels. Charlie goes, bye. She goes, fuck that lip balm, girl. Don't bring that bitch anywhere with her dry ass hair. I was like,
so good.
It's
very Jules. Nice hair, great bag.
Great bag, nice hair. It is. But Christina's starting it. She's being rude.
That makes sense. Oh, what makes sense, Christina?
What makes sense?
What the fuck are you talking? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Also, Lala going, we're done here. I'm like, you are on a deck outside of Lake Havasu.
Like, Havasu.
We're done. Havasu. We're done here? Like, I'd hope to be done.
Yeah.
Where do you think you are right now? It's not like you're in like
you're like in Palm Springs in like a palatial mansion. You're literally in Arizona. You're like, I'm just like, okay, have fun. Then Christina Kelly goes, guys, let's try and have fun today. And I was like, good fucking luck.
Yeah, good luck.
It sounds like a real fun crew. The three of you. It's raining. They go walk to like a square boat literally next to a group of like true duds, male duds. And then sober Christina Kelly and Lala just encourage Katie to like party with these like loser dudes. I was like, this is dark sided. You guys should have all gone in at a room of like the nearest Four Seasons or something. Like, why are you here pretending that this is fun? This is sad. You look silly.
I'm having deja vu.
I've had that a lot.
Weird. About, like, this episode.
And, like, talking about it? Well, still going?
No. They do a Schwartz pinata.
Oh my guys.
Okay. Ugh. This is sad.
It's really sad.
He's like, yeah, I still want to be best friends with him. I just don't think we're there yet.
Babe, guess what?
You left this motherfucker.
He's not your friend. You, but friends don't treat each other like that. He's not your friend. He never has been.
He's a fucking psychic terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he terrorized you. Go run free. Do your thing. You are free of this man. You did the right thing. Own it.
Yeah. And it's okay to say fuck him and fuck Raquel. Like, that would be more empowering than doing this fake thing that you don't even, like,
yeah, you invited her on this trip. You don't even like her.
Yeah. Like, you literally invited her here to, like, make fun of her. It's gross. Why aren't you just at a spa? Like, why don't you guys go to a spa? This is so... I hate, like, when friends are like, you've got to get dick, girl. Like, get dick. When you're like, we're in Arizona. Like, where the fuck? Like, they're like, go talk to those guys over there. It's like, what? These guys drinking beer on a square boat next to our square boat? Like, no. No.
We're in Arizona, bitch.
No, bitch, we're in Arizona. We're like on a river. There's like palm trees on this like weird river. I don't want to do this. And they're like, get it, girl. It's like, it's so false. I'm like, that's not healing. What would be healing is for you to really lux out at a spa and get like pampered and like wear gorgeous robes and like have, get like your hair done. Get a facial or two, massage.
Katie just wants to go, Jolene, 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 Jolene. Please don't take my man.
Wait, speaking of Jolene, Jolene, Greg's wife.
Jolene?
Mm-hmm.
She brings like poisoned veggies.
She goes, I know you love farm to bar, and starts like squeezing lemons.
Erotic.
Ariana's dog, like, the second she starts talking about Charlotte, I start crying. I was like...
Just seeing Sandoval and her together, it was, like, upsetting.
Yeah. They do a taste test of food. And I was like, I don't think... I was like, these croquettes, I don't think they're on the menu. I might be wrong, but I do not think that you can get caviar at Schwartz and Sandy's.
Also, like, Heinz, of course. But, like, I'm like, Sandoval, you should have taken Ariana to, like... a little getaway with the other dog and like let her relax.
Imagine being with Tom Sandoval and then the love of your life dog dies and then he's like, babe, get ready, I'm gonna take you out tonight, Schwartz and Sandy's, and you're like, I am gonna blow my brains out. I'm literally gonna take a bite of some of these croquettes, go home and just fucking end it. This is it.
Ariana looked great though.
Yeah. back to the vacation. Not for me. Sheena, she, all the guys gather at boys' night. Sheena slaps on a long high ponytail and a full leather outfit head to toe and struts out. She goes, boys' night. It's boys' night now. She goes, look at you. Look at all the people that come out for Schwartz. He has like a whole gang of men. Katie has more of a sad get-together. She did have a sad get-together.
She boys' goes, night.
She has two people. Do you know she's there with two people? She keeps saying that to people.
I love it. I love her pettiness.
Mm-hmm. Boys' night, Brox.
Time for boys' night. You ready?
Come on, honey.
Brock's like, all right. All right. All right, Dole.
Katie, Lala,
that's a Mondrian.
Yeah, they're at Skybar. I was like, wow, that still survived COVID. Damn. People be loving that space. The Hollywood clock keeps on ticking. Some things just cannot be taken out. Skybar,
like the moment,
is one of them. The moment is another. Even the Joy Rich store finally got taken down, where I was like, wow, I thought that was there was nothing that proof could take it down. But the true things that cannot be dismantled is the chokehold of Old Sunset Boulevard.
The old strip, the razzle dazzle of the Sunset Strip.
The razzle dazzle of the Sunset Strip, where everything happens. Katie, Lala, and KK go out on the Havasu town. They find a bar, and there's like a furry on the dance floor. I was really confused about the energy of this place and saddened by what it's come to for the three of them.
Lala tries to hit on her. I'm like, Lala's kind of bad at flirting.
Really? I thought she was good.
Oh, maybe she was.
I don't know. I mean, I like her confidence, but I don't
think... Oh, I do too. She's very charming.
Yeah, but I agree. I get there was something weird about going up to like the only two black guys in the bar and being like, I need to know where you came from. I'm like, ooh. Not the best, like, not a great icebreaker. Like, it was like a white
LA
woman. I need to know immediately, where did you come from? You're like, mm-mm. It's like, maybe just.
Yeah, ramp back a little.
You could opening line, something else.
I like that they were like, well, where do you come from? And she goes, L.A. And they go, yeah, us too.
But then that guy goes, I'm actually from Palm Springs. So I was like, what's the truth?
Somewhere in the middle.
The lady should have gone to, like, Montana. They should have, like, had a Yellowstone, like, a hot cowboy Yellowstone moment and, like, channeled their inner Beth Dutton truths. And rode horses.
I saw some article, I didn't click on it, but that Kevin Costner was quiet quitting Yellowstone.
I've been kind of following it. He really clashed. He's been clashing hard with the producers because he said for the next batch of episodes they're supposed to film, he was like, I only want to film for 1 week. Make it work. And they were like, you're literally the star of this show. You're like in most scenes. Like, we can't just like film all your scenes in a week. And he's like, sorry, not my problem. You guys figured out. He won a Golden Globe. So they're like, I think, going to make a new show with Matthew McConaughey as the lead.
Oh.
But I need just make a Beth Dutton show.
Who's McConaughey playing? They need to let Josh Lucas play
Young John?
You know how he always plays Young John?
Young Dutton. They should start Young Dutton. If Kelly Riley does not get a spinoff, I'm going to fucking riot.
Young Beth.
I need Young Beth and I need
deals.
Young Beth, Current Beth, and Old Beth. I want a show just called Beth.
Beth, Present, Future.
I need more Beth Dutton in my life, and I think all the girlies and the gays and the straights honestly would agree. We need Beth now more than ever.
She's a drag queen.
She is a drag queen. Beth Dutton should host the Academy Awards red carpet. She should have her own show. Let me guess.
Valentina.
Alaya. They're like, yes, actually. How'd you know? She goes, for
lucky
a cheap
guess.
Whore like you, lucky guess. Get your hair all curled up. Maybe you smoked a cig earlier. You haven't eaten anything but vegetables and light fish in weeks. You haven't had a piece of bread. You forgot what grain tastes like.
I bet your breath smells right now because you haven't eaten anything in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
she goes, you have a scent coming off you like keto sweat.
Oof.
back at
Lala. Marianne. Oh, I just wrote, Lala is entering her dom top era.
She is.
She is, and I can't fault her for it. Honestly.
No, I like this. I just don't like when she's like projecting.
I don't like projecting. I don't like rewriting history. But I accept that it happens. It happens to the best of us. We've all been there. Meanwhile.
The boys all gather and they're all like, oh, boys night, boys night. And they're all just like, boys, boys, boys. And then all of a sudden.
They go, boys night plus Sandoval's, Sheena. That's also
Sandoval's wearing the bolt night. Again. He knows.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
His acting when Raquel comes in with Charlie, he goes, oh, what? What? Hey, what are you doing here? First ones to hug, too.
I know. I saw it, too. I'm a Hawkeye in every move.
And Raquel
and Ariana's not there. Eyes on Ariana.
I know.
Where the fuck is she right now?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't like this one.
Why aren't you at home with your woman, with your lady,
mm-mm,
grieving with her?
Can you believe we're going to get Dodie on this season?
No, it's like, it's truly incredible.
That's honestly like a gift. That's like that's a miracle. That's like God has hands.
For Yars.
God has hands in this.
He has his finger on the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
She has her finger on the pulse.
They have their finger.
They has her finger on the
fucking pulse. Gaia. This reeks of Gaia. Mother Nature.
It reeks of total Earth Mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we just did a real epic. That was a real chunk of an episode. You deserve it.
It ends on a to be continued.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like James and, oh my God, we just did a tight 143.
I know. James goes, guys, not means nothing. He's like, knows he's not going to get fucked tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that Sheena, like, it wouldn't be awkward for Sheena to be at guys' night when you're getting like DP plowed. You know what I mean?
Wow, like this is crazy.
Wow. Oh my God. You're loose. I love that.
Oh my God. Okay, guys. Oh God. We need to go.
We are done. We're done here. We're done. Thank you so much.
Love you all.
For tuning in. Oh, wait. I have one announcement, too. We have a new tier on Patreon, and it's called the cult member tier. And anyone that wants to pay $50 a month, we'll shout you out at the end of every episode. So that's worth it, honestly. Hear your name and lights.
Your name and lights.
This, we could be saying your name right now.
Your name and skywriting.
Your name and absolute skywriting. Just us saying it. Thanking you personally by
Think
name.
Think about it.
Think about it. Think about it.
Update us.
You might ask us in this economy, to which I say yes, in this economy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, love and light. Bye.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.